But James chapter 1, I just want to read one verse, okay? One verse, and it's verse 17. So if you could find James chapter 1, verse 17, and it says this. I'll give you a second to get there, sorry. James 1:17 says this. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Let me read the first part of that verse again. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father, or is coming down from the Father of lights. Lord, thank you for that very pointed, exact, and correct statement. And Lord, I know that what I'm about to share is not something we don't know. But Lord, I pray that we would know it afresh. That it would be like brand new to our hearts, Lord. Give us that proper, good, and right perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to say this statement. I want to see how you react. Okay? We have so much to be thankful for. I knew it. I knew you guys would amen that. You fell right into my trap. We do say amen. And here's what I mean by that. Some of us in here, as soon as I said that, we have so much to be thankful for. You're like, amen. Others of you, if you were a little more honest, were like, amen? Question mark. Some of us, amen! Exclamation point. Others of us, amen? Question mark. Because we know that we should say that. We know that's the right thing to say. We have so much to be thankful for. We know in our brain we're supposed to feel that way or think that way. But how many of you guys have experienced life? And yeah, most of us. I don't know where the rest of you are. But in life, here's what happens. It's not always easy to be thankful, is it? Because in life, life happens. We have struggles. We have times where life circumstances can be depressing or overwhelming or so big and so looming that we can't even really think about or focus on the stuff to be thankful for because we're so overwhelmed with the things that are challenging our lives. Would you agree with that? But as true as those things are, and in no way do I want to diminish the hard things of life and the emotions that we go through, and if you're here and you're overwhelmed or, you know, whatever, in no way would I want to try to make light of that. But I will say this, even in light of that truth, we have so much to be thankful for. Only like five amens that time. You're like, well, I don't know. Do I amen or do I not amen? You can say amen. We have so much to be thankful for. And now if you amen purely out of obedience, hopefully by the end of the sermon, you'll amen out of a heart overflow. But here's why I think even in the light of amazing, hard, and difficult things in our lives that we really can be thankful people. A lot of it has to do with this verse that I'm reading. This verse in a lot of ways sums up the concept that I want to get at. And that is this. I'm just going to explore this statement. I'm going to break it into three chunks. Okay, you ready? If you're taking notes, you can jot it down. If not, it's fine. I just want to explore this statement, which I think is contained in the verse that we just read. Here's what how I would put it. We have a good God who gives good gifts in a good way. We have a good God who gives good gifts goodly or in a good way. Let's just kind of break that into three chunks. First of all, let's start with that first statement. We have a good God. Now, a lot of amens on that one, as should be. But I want to remind you of something. Not everybody believes that. And really, honestly, that statement, though it is so simple, that God is good, even though that's a very simple statement and concept, that is probably one of the most foundational and core beliefs that you can come to. Because God is either good or he's not good. And if you believe that he is a good God, then everything else flows out of that, right? But if you think that, well, is he good? Well, then that calls into question everything God does, right? I like how A.W. Tozer put it. He said this, Divine, well, I'm going to read two long quotes from Tozer. Why? He's Tozer. He says that God is good is taught or implied on every page of the Bible and must be received as an article of faith as impregnable as the throne of God. It is a foundation stone for all sound thought about God and is, listen, necessary to moral sanity. To allow that God could be other than good is to deny the validity of all thought and end in negation of every moral judgment. Are you guys tracking with me so far? If God is not good, then there can be no distinction between kindness and cruelty. Heaven can be hell and hell heaven. He went on to say, divine goodness as one of God's attributes is self-caused, infinite, perfect, and eternal. Since God is immutable, listen, this is my favorite part. He never varies in the intensity of his loving kindness. I love that. You see, God doesn't just do good things. He does good things because he's a good God. He doesn't just have goodness. Guys, he is the essence and the epitome of goodness. And that is at the very foundation of our faith about who God is. His goodness is one of his attributes, but his attributes are all lumped together. He's eternal. He's never changing. He's immutable. All those things. I guess that means never changing. He's all powerful. And so all that wraps into his goodness. He's powerfully good. He's always good. He's never not good. And guys, I know that you know this, but I just want to remind us, our God is a good God. Everything he does is good. Now, we would be lying if at times in our life we didn't call that into question. And we always call that into question when life circumstances aren't good or when bad things happen. But never make the mistake of saying, just because, and this is for another sermon on another day when we have more time, but never make the mistake of thinking just because there's bad stuff in the world that somehow God is bad or that he has got badness in him. Listen, he's forever and ever will be eternally self-caused and infinitely good. Amen. So you can rest in that. How do I know God's good? I'll give you one word, and it's the only argument I need. Jesus. If God wasn't good, he would have let you burn in hell, and he would have let me burn in hell. But he sent his son Jesus. Amen. More on that later. We serve a good God. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. Psalm 145 verse 9 says, the Lord is good to all. His mercy is over all that he has made. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Amen. So we got the first part down. The Lord, we have a good God. We have a good God. In our verse, he's called the Father of lights. Of everything good and what's righteous. That's our God. He's just in essence good. You get the point. We have a good God who what? Gives good gifts. He gives good gifts. Now, why does God give good gifts? Because he's a good God. And so what naturally flows out of a good God is good gifts. Look at verse 17 again. He says in verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift comes down from above. The two operative words for me are every and gift. Now, dictionary.com defines a gift as, and I quote, I think I quote, where is it? There it is. Something given voluntarily without payment in return as to show favor to someone. Let me read that again. Something given voluntarily without payment in return, as to show favor to somebody. Guys, God gives us really good gifts. Stuff that we didn't earn. Stuff that we didn't pay for. Stuff that's just out of his goodness. Why? To show favor towards us. And listen, it says every gift is from our good God. Every gift. How many of our gifts? Every gift. Now the question begs to be asked, well, what's a gift in my life? Let me put it this way. Is there anything good in your life? Gift from God. Anything good. How many of you guys have something good in your life? Yeah. So here's the deal with that. Even if your life really stinks right now and you're like going through really hard times and your finances are just mounting on top of you and your relationships are strained and all this, you woke up this morning. And did what? No, you just woke up this morning. Your heart is beating. Your lungs are sucking in air and blowing it back out. You've got a pulse. You guys know what I'm saying? You probably woke up in a bed or at least something close to it. A couch. You woke up hopefully to a roof over your head, some of us, most of us. You drove here in a car. You're not starving to death. You're going to go have turkey today. There's football on TV. We have so many good gifts. And not literally, truly, I'm not trying to make light of this. I'm saying that if there really is anything good in your life, it's a gift from God. That is something you did not earn. You did not deserve. God has freely given it to us just to bless us. Amen? And you might say stuff like, oh, well, everybody breathes. Yeah, but see, that's a dangerous, slippery slope to get on. Because if you're like thinking that way, then what you're thinking is, oh, all those things, those are just, everybody has those things. That's called an attitude of entitlement. When you begin to think you deserve something from God, you'll never be a thankful person. Did you know in Romans chapter 1, when Paul is talking about the slippery slope of sin, how a person goes just deeper and deeper, deeper into sin to the point where he just denies God, it starts with not acknowledging and thanking God. Did you know that? An unthankful heart leads to the deepest depravity of sin. See, we have to understand something, people. We don't deserve jack squat. We don't deserve anything good. You don't deserve to keep breathing. I don't deserve to keep breathing. I am not entitled to an iPhone. I am not entitled to a roof over my head. I am not entitled to a car. I'm not entitled to live in the United States and have freedom. All the stuff that we have is a gift from God. Your health, your, you know, relative health, your family, your whatever you have, that anything good that you have is a gift from God. Do you believe that? See, that's radical thinking. If you and I really do go through life thinking not that I deserve it or I'm entitled to it, but we think and really believe that everything we have is a gift, man, you will be a person that is bubbling over. You'll be a person that's content in life. You'll be a person that's just excited about what you have and not bummed out about what you don't have, right? Man, and here's the thing. Here's the kicker. When do you really become thankful for stuff? When you don't have it anymore. When you realize, oh, wait, maybe I wasn't entitled to that. Maybe I didn't deserve that. Maybe that was just God's straight up gift of grace in my life. Amen. You might say, well, wait a minute. I've got a lot of good things in my life. I've got 3 cars and 2.5 kids, however that works. I've got a fenced in house and I've got all this stuff and I worked hard for that. I did earn those good things. Wait a minute. Who gave you the strength to work hard? Who gave you the talent to start that business? Who gave you the smarts to think through that stuff? It ultimately always boils back down to God. Amen. We have a good God in his essence. He's good. And he gives good gifts. How many good gifts? Every one of them. In other words, if you've got a good gift, if anything good is in your life, it is from God. I defy you to not have anything to be thankful for today. Well, you don't know my life circumstances. I don't, and I really don't mean to make light of them. But in the grand scheme of things, you have a lot to be thankful for. And if you can't think of anything to be thankful for, keep listening to the sermon. We'll get there. But let's go to the third part of that statement. Number one is we have what? We have what? Who gives what? Good gifts. How many of them? All of them, right? We have a good God who gives good gifts. But here's the cool thing. We have a good God, and this may seem like a small point or just a little tweak on it or whatever, but we not only have a good God who gives us good gifts, he gives us good gifts goodly. What I mean by that is he gives good gifts in a good way. Here's what I mean. Let me develop that a little bit. If you go back to verse 17, it says this. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift. Pause there for a minute. I didn't know this till recently. But those two words for our same English word gift are actually two different words in the Greek language. The first word gift speaks of the act of giving. And the second word for gift means the actual gift itself. So you could put it this way. Every good act of giving and every good gift comes from God. Every good act of giving and every good gift comes from God. Well, why is that important? Let me illustrate. How you give a gift and the gift itself, well, let me put it this way. How you give a gift is sometimes just as important as the gift itself, right? For example, let's just say I had an extra $100. We know this is fiction. Let's just say I had an extra $100. I came up to Kev. Kevin, I'm going to give you this $100. And I put it in a card. And in the card, I go, dude, you're just a great guy. I like you. This is from me to you. Thanks for letting me watch the Super Bowl at your house for the last 5 years. $100 for all the messes I've made. And I go, here you go, bro. Love you, man. He opens it up. He's like, wow, $100. I'm taking Nikki out to dinner. So that's a good way of giving the good gift, right? You guys are like, where are you going with this? But what if I took that same $100 and I walk up to Kevin and I go, I'm going to give you this gift of $100. Even though 5 years ago I loaned you $8 for lunch and you never paid me back. And you know what, dude? I had to work 3 days of overtime for this $100. I worked so hard. I pulled my back working for this $100. Here's your $100. Enjoy it. Is that a good way of giving a good gift? You're like, dude, keep your $100. Seriously, I don't need it that bad, jerk. You guys, do you know that God's never a jerk when he gives us good stuff? He doesn't say, well, you know, you guys are still a bunch of rotten, no good sinners, but I guess I'll let you keep breathing air. No. Matthew 5 verse 45 says, Jesus said, you know, our Father, the sun comes up on the good and the evil. He says the rain comes down on the just and the unjust. I think I've mentioned to you in times past that I've always literally until recently thought that was a negative verse where he's saying, I'll make it rain on the just and the unjust. But then I realized like rain's actually a good thing to some people. And he meant like rain so your food can grow. Anyways, the point is that God doesn't like with a bad attitude or like in a way to make you feel guilty or under his thumb, give you good gifts. He doesn't do that to manipulate. He just gives good whether you love him or not. Did you know that the whole time you were not a believer in Jesus, you breathed and you ate and you were taken care of? Why is all that? God loves you and he's good and he just gives you good things in a good way. He doesn't have conditions. He doesn't have, stipulations or strings attached. He gives abundantly, doesn't he? God gives so much above and beyond what we deserve, you guys. And I personally, I'm not good at always remembering that. I am by nature a pessimist at times. And I am by nature the guy that focuses on all the stuff I don't have. But from time to time, God reminds me. Everything I have is a gift from him. And when I begin to just count my blessings and I think about my wife and my kids and I think about my home and I think about this church and I think about what God's done in my life, I break down because I know I don't deserve anything from him. And he has not given me those gifts because I've earned it. He's not given me those gifts based on the stuff that, you know, I've done or not done. He's just good. Amen. And he not only gives graciously and abundantly, but he gives continually. Did you know that word there, coming down from the Father of Lights, the word coming down is a present participle, and it means it just keeps on coming down. God's good gifts just keep on coming. Amen? Here's the moral of the story. Here's the only thing I really wanted to say today to you guys, just to remind us, we've got a good God, and he gives good gifts. And he gives the good gifts in a good way because he's a good God. Amen. We can put it this way. We're just really blessed people. We have so much to be thankful for today. We have so much to be thankful for today. And I want to just encourage you. Before you eat today or at some point during your time together as a family. That you guys just go around and just tell something you're thankful for. Or get alone with God at some point and just don't just think, well, he understands, he knows. We know he knows. But tell him anyway. Articulate it in a prayer. Tell him specific things that you're thankful for today. Amen. And lastly, as I mentioned earlier, if you really can't pull up anything in your mind that you can be thankful for today, or if you have a lot to be thankful for today, and let me put it this way, there's one thing that we are ultimately thankful for. It's the ultimate gift. You see, the Bible says that God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved you and God loves me so much that even though the Bible says all of us have sinned and fallen short of God's perfect standard of righteousness, his glory. And that sin, the Bible says, the wages of sin is what? Death, separation. Even though that's what we deserve, God gave his only Son. And the Bible says there in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the what? Free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Right? So the ultimate gift, we're talking about good gifts and all that. The ultimate gift, the greatest gift, the good and free gift was our salvation purchased for us, not something we did for ourselves, given freely to us by Jesus Christ. And guys, if you can't think of anything to be thankful for today, thank God that you're saved. Amen? Thank God that he sent his son Jesus to be a substitute, to die on the cross and absorb the penalty of my sin and your sin for us, and that he died and then he rose again from the dead and then has given us by faith a free gift of salvation. Guys, that is enough literally to thank him for the rest of our lives every day, not just on Thanksgiving. Amen. And so here's the thing. What we're going to do is just take a little bit of time to just do that, just to thank him. We're going to take communion. I don't know if you know this, but how many of you guys have heard the term the Eucharist? Maybe in a little more formal churches, they call communion the Eucharist. And the reason for that is the word Eucharist actually means the Greek word for the word thanksgiving. And so we want to come and take communion today. And all that, this is going to be our first, our pre-Thanksgiving meal right here. And we're going to take this meal, the bread and the juice, the bread speaking of the body of Jesus and the juice speaking of the blood of God in Jesus Christ that was poured out for us. And we're going to thank him for giving us the ultimate gift of himself that we might be forever with our good God. Amen. Lord, we thank you so much for saving us. Thank you for the good gift because you're a good God and we're not good people, Lord. We're not. We're bad people. We're sinners. We're gross. We're defiled. And we just want to say thank you so much for saving us and loving us. And Lord, may you accept these praises. And as we eat of the communion elements, I pray that we would just be reminded again of how much you love us. And we give this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen.